It's time to let the light in, let the light in. What's so weird?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin in Cherche, France. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. So join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our hosts, Kevin and Cher from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Turn the Light On with Kevin and Cher.
We're back.
It's another day, another miracle.
Right. We're finishing up a week's
in the
worth
Jesus
today.
Of Miracle series.
What did you just do? Kevin completely took his mic off the it's table good. And everything. Are you back?
I'm back.
Good now?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, just give you guys a visual.
You didn't have to
some
tell
of this
them,
stuff.
It's okay.
Now
just that
kind
you
of
have.
Funny. I looked up in the whole.
I'm holding the whole thing in my arm.
It's in your
You're supposed to let them not
I'm
know
not,
those things.
I'm very transparent.
I can see that about you. No.
No, we've got a really good miracle, and it is quite the reading.
Yeah, it's a long one, but
that's it's
all
really
right.
Good. This is the healing of the man born blind.
Yeah, so we got to dive right into this.
We do.
To make this work. I mean, we're reading 41
verses. Do you need a drink? We're
going
to.
41 verses.
Yeah. No, this is really good, though. I love this story.
So, you guys ready? We're going to jump in the Word.
Everybody
think, say yes. Let's get in the Word today.
Yeah. What is the NET version?
New English Translation.
New English Translation. Yeah. I haven't read
so
from
this
one.
So is that what
one.
We're reading from?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So why don't you go,
Sounds
and then
good.
Where we got the split, I'll finish this up.
Okay. I'm starting, you're finishing?
Yep. Sounds good.
Because, you know, that last section, it's got a whole other little piece on the back end there.
What are you talking about? Why
it's
are you trying to freak
too.
Me out? Oh, that's
so
fine.
So you get extra. You're going to take the extra.
I
see how
it.
You roll.
If you want the end, you
attention.
Can have it.
No, I'm kidding. I'm going to let
seriously.
You have it. It's yours, okay?
Okay?
No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
All right, so here we go.
All right.
All right, John 9, 1 through 41. It says, "Now as Jesus was passing by, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who committed this sin that caused him to be born blind, this man or his parents?' Jesus answered, 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but he was born blind so that the acts of God may be revealed through what happens to him. We must perform the deeds of the one who sent me as long as it is daytime. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' Having said this, he spat on the ground and made some mud with his saliva. He smeared the mud on the blind man's eyes and said to him, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam,' which is translated sent. So the blind man went away and washed and came back seeing. Then the neighbors and the people who had seen him previously as a beggar began saying, 'Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?' Some people said, 'This is the man,' while others said, 'No, but he looks like him.' The man himself kept insisting, 'I am the one.' So they asked him, 'How then were you made to see?' And he replied, 'The man called Jesus made mud, smeared it on my eyes, and told me, "Go wash Siloam." Mm-hmm. So I went and I washed, and I was able to see. They said to him, 'Where is that man?' He replied, 'I don't know.' And they brought the man who used to be blind to the Pharisees.
Uh-oh.
Now the day in which Jesus made the mud and caused him to see was a Sabbath.
What?
Shocker. You go, Jesus.
That's right.
He loves just doing things on the Sabbath, doesn't he? So the Pharisees asked him again how he had gained his sight. And he replied, "He put mud in my eyes and I washed, and now I'm able to see." Then some of the Pharisees began to say, "This man is not from God because he does not observe the Sabbath."
Whatever.
But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such miraculous signs?" Thus, there was a division among them. So again, they asked the man who used to be blind. He's like, "Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Really?
How many times
so
do I have to tell you?
What do you say about him since he caused you to see?" "He's a prophet," the man replied.
So here we go. Now the Jewish religious leaders refused to believe that he had really been blind. So now they're
he's not
so,
blind.
And had gained his sight until at last they summoned the parents of the man who had become able to see. They asked the parents, "Is this your son who says that he was born blind? Then how does he see now?" So the parents replied, We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how he is now able to see, nor do we know who caused him to be able to see. Ask him. He is a mature adult. He will speak for himself. So those are my kind of parents. They're like, he's perfectly capable. His parents said these things because they were afraid of the Jew. Well, no. My parents would not say that because they were afraid of the Jewish religious leaders. But for the Jewish leaders had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be Christ would be put out of the synagogue. So, you know, they didn't want to cause any conflict. For this reason, his parents said, he is a mature adult. I'll ask him yourself. Then they summons the man who used to, here we go again.
Yeah.
They summons the man who used to be blind a second time and said to him, promise before God to tell the truth. We know that this man is a sinner. They're talking about Jesus. He replied, I do not know whether he is a sinner. I do know one thing, that although I was blind, now I can see. And then they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he cause you to see? And he answered, I told you already, and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You people don't want to become his disciples too, do you? He's going to be a smart aleck.
Yeah, right.
They heaped insults on him, saying, you are his disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses. We do not know where this man came from. The man replied, this is a remarkable thing that you do not know where he comes and from, and yet he caused me to see. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if anyone is devout and does his will, God listens to them. Never before has anyone heard of someone causing a man born blind to see. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They replied, you were born completely in sin, and yet you presume to teach us. You know, now they're getting offended. So they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. So he found the man and said to him, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man replied, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus told him, you have not seen him. You have seen him. He is the one that you are speaking to. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that those who do not see may gain their sight, and the ones who see may become blind. Oof. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and asked him, we are not blind too, are we? Jesus replied, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now, because you claim that you can see, your guilt remains.
Ouch.
Man, these are like punches left and right.
Yeah, right.
But we're out of time. Love you guys.
Yeah, right.
Hope you enjoyed
great
that.
Show. I mean.
It just took us a long time to read. But it wasn't one that you want to cut off part of it because
no.
It really did have a lot of
there's
of
so
things.
Much in there, you know. I mean, look at the initial conversation and in curing of
the
of
man,
this
right,
guy,
this
okay?
miracle, right?
You know, in light of the placement of this account in, you know, in this narrative, it appears that, you know,
this evangelist part,
he wants to suggest that this man is, you know, representation of all of humanity, okay?
Right.
The fact is that mankind is not by nature receptive to the light.
Right.
We walk in darkness. We see that in scripture all the time, you
right.
know? Rather, mankind is spiritually blind from birth, you know, and it's the role of the light who comes into the world, Jesus, to enlighten every person, you know.
Right.
So what we're really trying to say is there's a type and shadow and a picture mm-hmm. of the world in this story, okay? And you know, the disciples are guilty of, you know, Job's friend type theology,
yeah, right,
you know, like,
right.
oh, just curse God and die, you know, whatever,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
And you know, they assume that there was something sinful about this, you know, thing in
the blindness,
in this guy,
or the,
and the
right.
blindness,
right?
But
or you know, the lives of the parents.
You know, they're like, obviously, this guy sinned.
Yeah, this
or
is
his
just
parents
some strange
sinned.
Thing. They're just trying to
something.
Write it off. They're trying to find excuses, and
you
right
know,
for sure.
And,
I mean,
you know.
Yeah, one of the main reasons this type of theology is so popular is because if we can assign blame for misfortune, then it offers this false hope that. If I am good, nothing like this is ever going to happen to me.
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what they're doing. They're like, clearly.
No promise of that at
clearly
all.
Clearly, you just lived a really sinful life. So
yeah,
that's,
you deserve
this.
I don't.
Fault.
So
this
it's never going to happen to me. Right.
Right.
Yeah. That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then Jesus answers, you know.
Right.
The purpose is for the benefit of
the man
and the witness of Christ while it is day. Is, you know, I mean, think about that. It's like a metaphor in a way. So, you know, he's here now.
Right.
Able to do things in front of them. So he's going to be leaving
right,
soon.
He's going
to
be leaving. And,
but
you know,
he's here. Jesus is like, go ahead.
No, I know. I'm.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, it is. He repeats the statement again that he is the light of the world. He's trying to show that he is the light of the world. And he is so, I really do think Jesus really wanted the Pharisees to change. But
he did.
I think he knew that it was a part of what we were going to learn from, to never be like the Pharisees too, you know, because of their blindness.
He's like, you're all blind. That's right. Where I was going to go. You know, it's like, you guys don't get it.
Right.
You know, you're not able to see the truth. You know,
well, let's talk about the blind man. So we've got the blind man, you know. Jesus spits, and we've seen one other one where he spit on the blind man, right? The one that saw it, Jesus prayed for him twice, remember?
Right, right.
And he saw the trees and then he saw the people.
Right,
I was
right.
thinking about that. But, you know, here he's making mud pies. He's like, you know, he's just literally like forming little mud pies in his hand, which people don't understand about that, it much so violated the Sabbath rule. Against like kneading, you weren't even allowed. Did you
to
know
knead
that?
Bread or
yeah,
anything like that.
Yeah, you weren't
like
allowed
that.
To like touch things and be like working, like doing things. So
you know what I've always thought about this particular part of the story is that I believe the guy was born with no eyes, with no eyeballs. I think Jesus made two eyeballs out of dirt and stuck them in.
You know,
that's just speculation.
Well, what would make sense about that is, because when we were reading the part about the people saying, well, kind of looks like him, but it's not. If you didn't have eyeballs, your face would be sunken.
Right,
you would look, it would change the shape of your face.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if, you know, they'd never seen the color of his eyes and his eyes and his face change, then I could, because I was like, well, what are people trying
to
say?
I've always thought he didn't have eyes.
That makes sense to me.
And that Jesus made him eyes, because God formed us from what?
Yeah, from the dirt.
From the dust of the earth.
That
so
makes
Jesus
so
took
much
the
sense.
Dirt and he spit in it to make it clump together into a ball.
Yeah, he could have made little
round
eyeballs.
So that he made
eyeballs.
Little eyeballs. That's what I'm saying. He made little eyeballs and stuck them right in there. And, you know, and
I
then
mean,
he
it's
says,
possible.
Yeah.
I think that's
not?
a good thing, you know. I love that the report from the blind man, Jesus was so, this is such a testimony to Jesus willing to help people that may not even really know him yet. Because the man, he said, it's just, you know, who helped you? And he's a man called Jesus. Yeah. I don't know who he was.
Right.
I don't know where he is. You know, I don't know.
Because they all think all of a sudden now he's his disciple. It's really that they're,
I think in
a lot of ways they're thinking that these people are faking these healings.
You must have been insane.
They're trying to generate buzz. And,
you weren't really blind.
Right,
you're
right.
Not,
yeah, you're lying. You're just trying to jump on this healing trail of Jesus and gain popularity.
It,
you know, there's a lot of ways that people were thinking.
It shows you that the Pharisees were so close-minded only to science, fact-based things that were in writing that they already knew about.
I got to see it.
That they had no ability to use any other part of their imagination or their belief system to take that in. They had no ability to do it, you know. And then then there's the confrontation of the man with the Pharisees
again. Yeah, I mean,
they're
like constantly, they're badgering this guy. Because
guy's like, give me
I personally think they're trying to, you know.
They're trying to build
say,
their case.
You're not really.
They're trying to build their case.
You weren't really healed. You
right.
know, I think they're still fighting that battle.
You know, they want to know how he received his sight, and they were not interested in the welfare of the man. Again, you know, they're not
they're not rejoicing with him.
No, they're reaming him, and it says just that
miracle.
Someone. Right. And it was on Sabbath, which just cracks me up. But the Pharisees conclude that
we know Jesus would never do that on purpose. It just happened to be a coincidence that it was the Sabbath, I'm sure.
Right, but, you know, he
that's sarcasm.
Right, right. But, you know, he can't be from God, they're saying, because he is a Sabbath breaker, you know. And
you a Sabbath breaker.
Right, you know, the man basically just says, well, you know, he's a prophet.
Right.
You know, they're just trying to figure out who he is. Jesus is in another part of town.
Who do you say that I am?
Yeah, that's a different story. But
I know,
the
but
Jews and the parents.
Same scenario.
You know, is another good example. The parents are afraid of the leaders and they won't say anything. You know, originally I was like, oh, that's my parents, because they said, well, ask him, because that would be a good thing to put the power back in. Just ask him. He knows what happened.
Right.
But it wasn't the right motives. They literally just, they were scared. They had fear.
Well, they didn't want to get put out of the synagogue. You know, I mean, look at
it. Sounds like
they didn't want to get kicked out of the church.
You know,
it's like, what do you mean you speak in tongues? You can't come here anymore.
Right.
No.
you know, anything that goes against what their laws and religious.
They kick you out.
Right.
I've been kicked.
Yeah, well, you know, you've got the confrontation of the man and the Jews, too. And, you know, they know that he's from Nazareth. The question might be referring to who his father was. Perhaps they think Jesus is this illegitimate person because he was born too soon after the marriage, or they could question that.
Oh,
they're just trying.
They're looking for any dirt on
they
him,
are,
you know?
You know?
Isn't that the world for you, you know?
Yeah.
Always looking for the dirt.
Always looking for the bad and always looking for the...
Yeah, it's like, we're going to discredit you somehow. So.
No one has ever heard of opening the eyes of someone born blind, you know? So they know, like you said, that there was a... This was a recreation miracle of something that was missing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it sounds like. He was born blind, you know? Regardless of how exactly it was, his eyes never worked properly from the time he was born, you know.
Sure.
So there's this increase in that power that Jesus is using with this miracle that is irritating them, I think, even more, because Jesus just keeps taking it to the next level and the next level and the next level, and he just keeps breaking every law of physical ability and the pharisaical laws at the same time. He just keeps breaking them, you know.
Yeah, and they can't argue it. That's their biggest frustration, is that you know, he's doing these things. Nobody else can do stuff like this, and yet now he's telling everybody that you don't have to, you don't have to obey the Sabbath. You know, you don't have to, do these things that the religious people are telling you to do. And I love that about Jesus, because he was always breaking the religious mold. You know, because God isn't a God of religion.
No,
he's a God of relationship. Exactly.
Right.
And
right.
The relationship that he had with this guy on the Sabbath day, healing his eyes, was way more important to him than the observance of some religious, you know, ritual that man created. God didn't even, he said to obey, you know, God did say keep the Sabbath holy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But, you know, I think that
what does holy mean? You know,
he
was rewriting what it meant to keep the Sabbath holy, and it wasn't keeping all the laws and having control. It was helping other people. It was creating love. But the function of Jesus, he reveals the truth and he gives sight to the blind, and then he conceals the truth and further blinds people or those who think they can see.
Right,
you know, it's this double play on how the parable went and how the story went. It's really
those who were in darkness saw great light, but those who were in supposedly in the light actually
were
found
blind.
Darkness.
Well, and they could, they're going further away from Jesus because of their unbelief and their stubbornness and their evil, wicked hearts to just do harm and disprove because of the pride of who they were. They were the rulers. They knew everything. They, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on with them that Jesus was at every angle trying to give them opportunities to change, and they didn't.
Sure.
But, you know, that's...
Well, you know, Jesus had a ministry, you know, and his ministry had a purpose.
It did.
You know, is to bring salvation and judgment at the same time, you know, to seek and save those who were lost and to literally reject those who were actually being religious and leading people astray through...
Right.
False teachings and religious rituals and things like that.
Right.
So, you know, he saves those with faith, and he judges those with lack of faith. It's just part of it, you know?
Right. You know, the purpose of Jesus is to save the world, but there's consequences of rejecting him, right? And there's consequences of rejecting his salvation. And this is what the Pharisees are doing over and over and over. And, you know, God's and Jesus's priority is to save. And, you know... It's really cool when you are able to take these miracles of Jesus, so long ago, but they're so relative to who he is today. Nothing's changed. That's why he says he's the same today as he was yesterday, that he will be tomorrow. I mean, Jesus is the same, and he's still doing those things. But there's a parallel for us to grasp that we can align ourselves with, you know, that he is the light of the world and that he fights for us. And he's willing to go after. Maybe you have loved ones that don't know the Lord. You know, through your prayers, they can find him. God will pursue them. He will look for them.
He is pursuing them.
He is.
You know?
And he wants to. And, you know, everybody has a choice, but you have the ability to pray and to ask the Lord to continue just to do that for you.
Yeah, I love also the idea that he who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it as well. Mm-hmm. You know, God's not, he's not going to let us go. You know, when the world is trying to come at us with darkness and trying to blind us, Jesus says, no, I'm the light of the world.
That's right.
You know, and then he's telling us not to become people that push people into darkness, but to let our light so shine before men and women, and they'll see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven, you know?
Well, if we use them as our example of what not to do, they had zero compassion, zero love for people.
Yeah.
They were just had so much hatred, they let that move and motivate them to everything that they did. And then really that's part of it is that's what made them blind, is the hatred and not having love and not having compassion for people. So, you know, they had this self-righteousness and that caused them to be blind, you know, and that's something that we really, it's tough to hear, but we need to be very aware of that. Like everything we do should be out of compassion and love for the people around us, and to be that way draws us to the light, and we become the light because that is who Jesus is, and we become the light of the world. And when you choose not to do that, you become blind.
Yeah.
You're in the dark. You know, these things are very self-explanatory when you break it down.
Well, for me, it's like darkness kind of sums up this way. The only power of the false is its ability to hide the truth.
That's right.
And darkness is trying to hide the light, but it can't. You know, darkness is the absence of light. It's not able to cover light. Anytime the light is there, darkness cannot comprehend it. It cannot
overtake
it.
The light shines in the dark, and the dark can't comprehend it.
So, you know, we want to encourage you out there, you know, that in spite of what Jesus had to endure with all of these people and the darkness that tried to overtake him, his light shined and healing came and deliverance came
and that
people
light is
were set
in you.
Free. And that same light is in each and every one of us.
It is in you. It's in
us.
True. It's part of us. We get to tell the darkness to leave. We have that authority because of what Jesus, through Jesus, we have that authority.
That's amazing, man.
So,
such a good testimony, such a great story, a miraculous story here. But we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about it.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry, Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time in worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the Fellowship Hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. It's Turn the Light On with Kevin and Cher, and we've been talking about the miracles of Jesus, and this one in particular has been...
The blind man,
you know.
With the mud pies, with the mud pie eyeballs.
The mud pie eye.
The mud pie eye. Yeah, I mean, that's what it's about. It's such a cool story.
It
is. I mean, I love all these stories. But I think that something that's a really good part to bring up as we're closing this is one part is that we learn from the parents that is that the fear of other people, the fear of being booted out of your group, not fitting in,
peer pressure,
that can cause you from not accepting Christ,
right,
or missing out on a relationship with Him. You know, we saw that fear. We know about fear.
They pulled back from Jesus and from this situation,
right?
You know?
They didn't know who. They were like, "Oh, we don't know who He is, and we don't know what happened. We don't know." I mean, I wonder if they were pulled. Someone went and found His. Like, maybe He didn't even get to talk to His parents.
Right. No, they hadn't. They went and grabbed Him.
So He walks in. They walk in, and they're like,
"Get His parents!"
And they're looking at Him and with eyeballs, maybe for the first time.
Right.
They can see the color of His eyes.
Yeah.
And how cool was that?
And he got to see His parents for the first time.
And they had this opportunity to just leap with joy, but yet that intimidation of all these rulers and all these people, that intimidation was so much, it was too much for the parents to step out of that and be able to say, "I want to know who this man is. I don't know, but my son's healed, and this is a miracle, and I want to know who this man is." Instead, they're like, "Oh, I don't know. I don't ask Him, you know."
Yeah,
so we have to be paying attention to that. That's
so we can't be intimidated. I think that's really what we're trying to say.
And not have fear.
Don't let the world intimidate you into, you know.
Fear is the base of 95% of what people are dealing with. So
when
you recognize the source of where it's coming from, it was fear. And you decide that you're not going to allow fear to help make your decisions for you, you can back up from that and reset and say, "Yeah, absolutely not. I'm not allowing fear to be the determining factor of why I don't do this, that, or the other." So
I mean, and I think the biggest question is all the Pharisees, everybody, you know, they want to know how did this happen? But really, if you read the story, it always points back to who.
That.
And Jesus.
Is so
it's
good.
A Jesus thing. It's not how did this happen, it's who made this happen. And
then
it's
Jesus. If you flip that really quick, it would be people that don't have the faith to trust God that He will do what He said because they're trying to figure out the how.
Yeah.
How's He going to get it done? How is He going to do this? I don't have any money. How's He? And, you know, God, we can't think of one way.
That's a whole other show, man.
Can't think of one way, and there's a million ways God could do it, you know, a million.
All things work together for good to those who love Him.
Amen.
And are called according to His purposes. So
we
hope you guys enjoyed the program today. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Maryland, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.